HBO's controversial new documentary about allegations of sexual abuse by Michael Jackson wraps up tonight. The first part of Leaving Neverland debuted last night. It tells the story of two men, James Safechuck and Wade Robson, who claims Jackson abused them when they were boys. Here's Robson.
He was one of the kindest, most gentle, loving, caring people I knew. He helped me tremendously. He helped me with my career. He helped me with my creativity, with all of those sorts of things. And he also sexually abused me for 7 years.
The Jackson family is denying the allegations. Let's bring in Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, and a warning that this conversation may not be appropriate for all listeners. Derek, I watched the documentary last night. You say you watched it through gritted teeth. Give us a sense of what was uncovered.
Yeah, I'll offer a brief summary. The documentary focuses on the experience of these two young men, Safechuck and Robson. Both were child stars in their own way. James was a model actor and Wade was a young dancer. And they describe in brutally intimate detail how Michael Jackson first reached out to them, befriended their families, and then seemingly groomed them for years of sexual abuse. And most of this episode, the first of two episodes airing on HBO, focuses in really excruciating detail just how Jackson sexually abused them. And to me, what made the episode so visceral isn't just those brutal details, but also how the testimonies rhyme. Both of the men say Jackson threatened them to stay quiet about the abuse, saying to one, I believe, that if the details were uncovered, they would both go to jail forever. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, both say they loved him, that their abuse was wrapped up in an emotional relationship, and that this kind of forthrightness, I think, to me, about how those feelings of love were interlaced with these really horrifying details of abuse made it, I thought, a really utterly heartbreaking abuse survivor story.
And to that point, the fact that what they say in this documentary, at least last night, is that the things that Jackson would do to them were basically the same with each boy.
That's right. That's right. And we don't need to go into the details here because they are really, really excruciating. But that's, to me, what made it so effective as a piece of legal review. It's unbelievably emotional. And the appeal of any accusation like this against one of the most famous musicians of all time, certainly the 20th century, is going to be a lightning bolt. But really, to me, the authenticity of what they said, the verisimilitude, really came from the rhyming testimonies, the fact that they seemed to be describing an experience that was a kind of blueprint on Michael Jackson's part for grooming young boys.
Well, one of the things that James Safechuck, one of the men, said in the documentary is that Jackson went so far as to buy him a wedding ring. Let's listen.
I was really into jewelry, and he would reward me with jewelry for doing sexual acts for him. He would say that I need to sell him some so that I can earn the gift.
Derek, are these new detailed claims enough, do you think, to change the public's view of Jackson? And by that I mean, are people going to feel uncomfortable even listening to his music now?
Yeah, I did my best to comb through several sites and social media platforms to gauge the reaction to the documentary. And I would say the overall reaction was abject horror and shame among some Michael Jackson fans, among many Michael Jackson fans, saying, I can't believe that I still listen to his music. I can't believe this man still has statues and accolades and radio play. On a personal note, for me, there are a lot of instances where I separate the artist from the art. I like Picasso's art tremendously, even though he was a jerk. I think Charles Dickens was a genius whose books I really adored, even though he tried to have his wife locked up when he decided to leave her. So I do make this separation on a daily basis, but I don't know how I could listen to Michael Jackson right now. I don't know how I could hear Michael Jackson in a store, in an office, in a public space, and not immediately think of these accusations and these stories.
The Jackson estate is denying these allegations and is suing HBO, actually, for $100 million. What is the family saying about this documentary, and what's at stake for them?
So Michael Jackson's estate still makes a tremendous amount of money. According to Forbes, Michael Jackson has made $2.1 billion adjusted for inflation in the few years since his death. That's billion with a B. And to be clear, even though these testimonies in the documentary are unbelievably emotional and ring true to me, it should be said that both of these young men have given sworn testimony at different times in their life, each denying that abuse had taken place. Robeson, when he was a younger boy, was the first witness called by Jackson's defense team in a 2005 criminal trial about on molestation charges, according to the New York Times. Members of the families have said they don't have any corroborating evidence in terms of physical evidence on their hands, and none is presented in the documentary mm-hmm. itself. So, you know, all of this, I think, goes to show that these are unbelievably dramatic testimonies in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. But from a legal standpoint, it's not clear exactly how it would play out in court.
And part two airs tonight. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thank you.
Thank you.